is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome my colleague and friend Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. Syria, darkness visible. At this moment, what we know of the Damascus presence, said to be in some fashion related to the jihadists of Idlib. However, also in the mix is Turkey and its very effective and famous state security, MIT. How that all fits together, given that Russia has a naval and air base there, the U.S. has a deployment in the east of the country supporting our Kurd allies called the YPG. Israel dominates the Golan Heights, Mount Hermon, and the DMZ. And the unclear message from Damascus is, we're jihadists who've reformed, put on suits, trimmed our beards, and ready to join the community of nations. However, I learned from you, Gregory, that Turkey, the neo-Ottomanists of Turkey, have a plan, and it begins with cutting up Syria, and then it moves right on to becoming a major player in the neo-Ottoman universe. How so? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, in fact, this has been the long-time dream of the Turkish president, Erdogan, to reclaim the Ottoman Empire, which includes most of Arabia, much of North Africa, and up into Central Asia and the like. The reality is that this is highly unlikely, but what he has achieved now is, in fact, the de facto control of Syria. And this really, really changes many things. It changes Iran's ability to project into the non-Shia areas of the Middle East and to achieve its long-cherished ambition and its ability to have a land bridge from Iran across Iraq and Syria and Lebanon and so on to the Mediterranean. This is something which the Iranians have been having on and off for several thousand years. So this is a big deal for Iran. It basically neuters Iran in the short term and pits Iran against Turkey. But what's really significant is that now that Turkey has got control of Syria, and it's not just about taking back some of the territory of northern Syria, it's literally about controlling all of Syria. And that puts the Turks on the contiguous front line with Israel. So, in other words, Turkey and Israel are now frontline adversaries, and Turkey has been preparing for the last year, in real military terms, to go to war with Israel. We said starting in May of last year that Turkey was preparing for a war with Israel, and at that time we felt that they were more afraid that Israel, after dealing with Hezbollah and Hamas, would attack Turkey. But in fact it's the other way around. I mean, Turkey was getting ready to be at war with Israel. Whether it can do it or not is another matter, but it is a situation where Turkey has ended the proxy war phase, and like Iran itself last year, it's going into direct confrontation with Israel. This becomes very critical to the United States and to Western Europe, for that matter, and NATO, is that it means that the U.S. will have to decide between supporting NATO ally, I use that in quotes, NATO ally Turkey, and historical ally Israel. This is going to be difficult, but Turkey has basically pitted itself against Western and U.S. interests. It wants to control initially the oil-bearing areas of Syria, for a start, but it is, as we've just reported today, actually, 50% of the new Syrian government positions are occupied by members of the Muslim Brotherhood, the Ikhwan. And now the Muslim Brotherhood is completely an instrument of the Turkish government. The Brotherhood's leader is the president of Turkey, Recep Tayyip Erdogan. And so he's been putting his own people there, whether they're Muslim Brotherhood or whether they're actual Turkish officers. So every the ministry is Muslim Brotherhood. A lot of the new administration and the armed forces are staffed by Turks and by Turkish advisors and specialists and the like. So that's very, very critical. This is not a situation where we're looking at negotiating with the new Syrian government. The new Syrian government is actually Turkish. It's not impossible that the new leaders of Syria, who were financed and armed and trained and so on by Turkey, it's not impossible that they may decide to break away from Ankara, but that's going to be another game in itself. The Russians and the Iranians have pulled back to a large degree. Whether Russia retains access to its air base and its naval base in Syria is debatable and very much up to the Turks. So the Turks, for the first time, have now got a big stick to influence Moscow. Until now, Moscow has basically been in charge of the Russia-Turkey relationship. Now the shoe is moving onto the other foot and the like. So that'll be a very interesting situation. And we could see a conflict arising between Israel and Turkey in the near future. Iran, although it's basically licking its wounds over its confrontation with Israel, will actually try to side with some of the Kurds against Turkey. And that's going to be an interesting mix. The key ministers in Turkey have said in the last few days that they're now in a position where they will eliminate, in other words, kill all of the Kurds. So this is not going to be a pleasant situation unless the U.S. fulfills its obligation literally to protect the Kurds, who were extremely helpful to the U.S. and the West in the wars in Iraq and in Syria and against Iran and the like. The Kurds have been dealt a bad hand by most of the players, and we'll now see whether the Trump administration coming into office supports them. So it's going to be, everything is up in the air. And right now, what Turkey is doing with this is trying to get the new Syrian government to recognize the so-called Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus, which is that 37% of the northern part of the island of Cyprus, which they seized through a military invasion in 1974, so that they would have somebody else other than Turkey itself recognizing that. And then they'll create, turn that into a new thing called the Turkish Republic of Cyprus. That becomes very critical. So in other words, they're not saying that it's the Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus, who nobody else recognized. It will now be a Turkish Republic of Cyprus, in other words, competing directly with the Republic of Cyprus, which already exists, but it will have recognition by both Turkey and Syria. So that throws another thing into the works. And what that does, it gives Ankara the ability to control some of the offshore exclusive economic zones, take them away from Cyprus, take them away from Greece, as well as from Lebanon and Israel and Egypt, for that matter. So then they'll have a lot of these offshore gas deposits in the Eastern Mediterranean coming under Turkish control. So that becomes really a key thing in the economics. Turkey is hoping that it will get support from Libya, where it's had bases and it's had a lot of the Turkish mercenaries being based. But we're now seeing the development of a new government coming into power in Libya, which would combine both the Benghazi and the Tripolitanian elements to create a new government of Turkey, of Libya rather, which may be more pro-Western than, say, pro-Turkish.
There are elements here, however, Gregory, that need to be explicated, because they'll make major headlines. One about Assad. The other one has to do with Cairo and Sisi. When we come back, Gregory Copley of Defense and Foreign Affairs talking about the neo-Ottomanists in Ankara and Istanbul and their plans for the darkness visible of Syria to settle old scores and to make some new scores necessary in the future. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.